The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three times in the appointed Gospel reading, Jesus uses the Greek word hypokritai. Even if you don't know Greek, it's not hard to recognize the word. Just leave off the final vowel sound, and it seems like you're hearing an English word, hypocrite. What isn't evident in English is the etymology and meaning of the Greek word. Hypocrite is a compound word. If you translate each of the Greek words literally, you end up with from under to interpret. In Greek, hypocrite is the word for actor, which makes good sense if you realize that in Greek theater, the actors wore large masks to mark the character that they were portraying. Thus, as they delivered their lines, they were interpreting them from under a mask. When Jesus urges his hearers not to be like the hypocrites in giving alms or in praying or in fasting, he's warning against engaging in religious observances insincerely for the benefit of an audience. He's warning against play-acting devotional practices to be seen and praised by others. Jesus isn't breaking new ground with this teaching. Again and again through his prophets of old, God warned that he doesn't want mere outward obedience. We heard an example of this less than 3 weeks ago from Isaiah. The Lord said, "Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Or as a Hosea recorded the Lord's words more succinctly, I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Now today, engaging in outward religious activities to be seen by people is probably not the temptation for us that it once was for Christians. In our culture today, you're probably more likely to be ridiculed or canceled than praised for acting in an overtly Christian manner. Praying publicly in the name of Jesus, contributing to a crisis pregnancy center, or a school that doesn't hew to the progressive orthodoxy concerning marriage or sexuality, limiting your consumption of alcohol, being chaste, not indulging base appetites. These things are likely to result in your being ridiculed and mocked. But avoiding such things in order to be one of the guys or gals, to be seen and praised by others, is merely the opposite side of the coin that Jesus is talking about in our text. Being concerned about how others see you and shaping your words and actions to please them, to garner their approval and commendation, this will not commend you to your Heavenly Father. He knows your heart. He knows what motivates you. He knows whom you fear and what you love. And even if no one else can, He can tell whether or not you fear, love, and trust in Him above anything or anyone else. And He will not commend you because you are highly praised or popular in the world. What Jesus teaches here is very much in line with what He underlined when earlier in His Sermon on the Mount He said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not swear falsely. But I say to you," going on to intensify those commandments so that no one could possibly claim innocence under the law. God doesn't judge mere outward actions. He discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He knows the secret of your heart. And what He sees isn't pretty. For, as Jesus Himself testifies, out of the heart, out of your heart and my heart, come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. That's the first message of Lent. By your fault, by your own fault, by your own most grievous fault, you have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. But there's another Lenten message as well. As we heard from Joel's prophecy, God also speaks a gracious invitation to the very people who have sinned against Him, whose righteousness falls far short of His requirements. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And He relents over disaster. King David's confession in Psalm 51, which we prayed responsively, is just such a rending of the heart, a return to the Lord, by one who knew his sin and looked to the Lord for mercy. And in fact, that's precisely what he received. David confessed, "I have sinned against the Lord." And the prophet responded, "The Lord has put away your sin. You shall not die." This is the hope and the joy of Lent, that the Lord is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, who by his perfect life and by his innocent suffering and death has fulfilled God's law for you and borne the punishment you had earned in your place. And so that you may know this beyond any shadow of a doubt, he marked you as his own in holy baptism and feeds you his body and blood along with the bread and wine to forgive you and strengthen you and sustain you in repentance and faith in him until he will call you to join him in his everlasting kingdom. Though your sins are like scarlet, the Lord has made them as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, by his blood, they have become like wool. You are his. He has saved you. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.